If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you. First five verses in the Bible, Genesis 1, 1 to 5 is what we'll be looking at this morning. We're starting what's going to be a 7-week series this morning, a series that's going to look at each of the days of creation. And over the summer, I was thinking about, you know, what, where would we go, where would we preach as we entered into the fall, and was looking at a number of different ideas, and finally it just kind of just clicked in sharing with you from each of the days of creation. And that's my hope, that we hear this morning about a God who is so good that He has stepped into this world, He's created this world, and as we hear about this God, that we consider how good He is in our own lives as well. One of the things that I will mention is, as we look at each of these days of creation, some of them, like I think next week is going to be a little bit more devotional, kind of just going to flow out of the big theme that I see in the second day of creation. And this morning's passage, I'm going to try to, I guess, kind of teach from it and kind of share how that reflects and how that shows up in our own daily lives as well. So if you got your Bibles, keep them open to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 5 in just a little bit. But before we go any farther, let's pray. Dear Father, this morning, as we look at your word, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to see all that you've done, all that you can do, all that you want to do in our lives. Cause us to be receptive to your will. Cause us to be open to hearing what you have for us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to share with you three quick pictures of some different people's life stories. First picture that I'll share with you is of like a high school girl. She's sitting in her car. She's late at night. She's kind of tucked away in the middle of nowhere, and she's just alone. She's just trying to escape her life story. And as she sits in the car, she starts to think about her own condition, thinks about what's going on in her life, and she starts to accuse herself of being ugly, of being overweight, of having no friends, of wondering what it is. Who am I going to be? What's my purpose? Why am I here? And as she starts to kind of have a little pity party in those thoughts, she goes and she reaches inside of the purse that she brought with her, and she grabs the gun that she had taken from her father. She starts to think about what she's going to do with that gun. Second picture that I'll try to share with you. Traveling salesman. Guy's been going around from town to town, sleeping at a number of different motels, trying to just make a quick buck selling what he sells for the company that he works for. And one night he's in his hotel room and he's considering how empty his sales were, how just bad a day that he had in business. And he's looking at all the places that he's been to and how he has no orders. And he starts to think about his life that awaits him if he was back home. He thinks about his kids who have all grown. They're out of the house. He thinks about his wife and he thinks that she doesn't love him. He thinks about his job, and he thinks it's a dead-end job, and he starts to think to himself, if I could just walk away from all this, and if I could just start all over again, maybe that's what I should do. Here's the third picture that I'll try to share with you. It's of a housewife. She's at home. Her kids are at school. Her husband, he's got his job, and she's at home, and she feels all alone, and she feels like she has no purpose. I kind of think those three people, they have a lot in common, and the thing that they have in common is the wrestling with what is their purpose? Why are they here? What is the purpose for their life? One of the things that we hear about constantly from friends, from the news, from things on TV, is people who are it just sounds like they're literally checking out on life. They've given up on life. Kids running away from home. People committing suicide. People chasing all sorts of drugs and substances. People not being faithful to the relationships. Just constantly checking out on the things that matter in their lives. And as we think about that, I think we have to ask ourselves, why? Why are people doing that? Why are people just walking away from the things that are supposed to matter to them? One of the answers that I think that we have to think about is that there's a lot of people out there who just look at their lives and they think that their life doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have any purpose. My hope for us this morning as we look at the first five verses of Genesis is that we see a God who didn't just create the earth and walk away. We see a picture of a God who created it and has been intimately involved in His creation and wants to be intimately involved in each of our lives as well. So if you have your Bibles, let's read the first five verses. I think you know these words pretty well, but let's read them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Here's the defining thing for me about, especially the first verse, and this is what I was trying to share with the kids this morning. I don't know if this went over the kids' head, but God, as he creates this universe, he forms it out of absolutely nothing, and he creates this beautiful place that we call Earth. God creates it all out of nothing. So everything in existence, it's here because God put it here, because God made it happen. Now you can try to compare what the Bible teaches about how this world came to be with what science teaches, and you hear a completely different story. Scientists, they teach that this world came into existence. Often they teach the Big Bang Theory through a random happening, that this compressed ball of matter just came together, and after being compressed for some time, it just blew up, and it just shattered itself all over the galaxy, creating the galaxy. That's how scientists try to explain how this world came to be. And if you were ever to try to push someone who believed in evolution and to ask them, well, where did that first big ball come from, that first ball of matter, they that would be a place that they'd be stuck. They wouldn't have a great answer for that. But you know what? As we consider where we came from, where this world came from, we've got a great answer, and it's the answer that the Bible says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So clearly, the Bible is teaching us that everything that's here owes its existence, owes its presence to God Almighty. There's a Latin word, and the Latin word is called ex nihilo. I don't know Latin. I don't know it at all. But the Latin word ex nihilo, it means that out of nothing. That is a teaching that is present right here in the first verse of the Bible, and it's a truth that should shape our understanding of God, that should challenge us in our faith lives as we look to God and as we see how He provides for us. And when you talk about creation a little bit more, here's one of the things that I'm impressed upon. When I consider creation, as God creates the earth, He doesn't have to like get out, you know, big cranes and all this equipment. God just speaks it into existence. And I think that's a great thought for us to consider about this God who has the power and the authority through His voice, through His word, to speak into existence creation. He's got the same authority to speak into our lives. So let's consider, how is God speaking in our lives? Because the same God who can work in creation, who can make the universe exist, can make things happen in our own lives. You and I, as we consider how good God is and how great He is and all that He can create, we have an opportunity to proclaim to others what God can do. I'm always going to remember my freshman high school science teacher. His name was Mr. Gall. Ninth grade, going to science class, and I'm sitting in his class, and Mr. Gall is this godly Christian man. And he's the guy who's been given the charge by the school board to teach evolution. And he stands before the school, before a class, and he says, you know, I've got to teach you this, what I'm about to teach you. I absolutely am convinced that it's wrong, that it's not right, that it doesn't work, and that all the theories around it just fall apart. So as I teach you this, here's my story. It doesn't work. It's wrong. And I've got another story that I can tell you as well if you want to hear it. That was my science teacher. He was committed to doing what he had to do, but to letting people know that there was something greater that existed in his life, that understood of how he understood how this world came to be. And for each of us, you and I, we all have that same opportunity to proclaim that we see this world that God has created, that we understand that God has created it, that God's word says that. We can tell others the very same thing, that God has made this world. So you and I, we have an awesome opportunity. Not only does God speak creation to existence, He doesn't just speak it into existence and then walk away like some watchmaker who winds up a clock. God is intimately involved in His creation. The rest of the verses that we've got in front of us this morning, they show a picture of a God who is just, He's there with His creation. Verse 2 talks about how the earth was empty, how it's without a shape. And it also talks about how the Spirit of God is hovering over it. That's kind of a tough phrase to try to understand. And I went to look up what that phrase meant in some of my commentaries. And one of my commentaries explained that phrase this way, that the hovering God is this, that God is hovering like a bird, expressing his power and desire to give form to that which was without form and to fill the void. So here in the first day of creation, God brings together everything from nothing. Literally, he takes everything and makes it from nothing. And then after he sees that creation is now in the process of being made happen, he looks at his creation and he sees that it needs character, he sees that it needs shape, and he desires to give it form. The earth was without shape, it was without form. That's kind of how the Bible describes it. And here's a quick devotional thought for us as we consider that part of creation for our own lives. That the same God who created the earth, who saw that the earth was not complete, he looks at our lives and he sees the flaws, he sees the failures, he sees the weaknesses in our lives, and he desires to do the same thing in us as well, to continue to do his work of creation in each of us. Here's a little bit more about creation. As God is working on this first day of creation, he sees that creation is still not complete. He sees that it's dark out, so he creates the light. Now think about what it takes for you and I to create some light. You and I, we walk into a room, the power goes out, we want to have a little light, we grab a candle, we grab a flashlight, we hold our cell phone in the air, we do something to try to light up the room. But for God, it is such a different thing when God creates the light. He literally, there's an absence of light, and he just, light exists. That's how it is for God. And as I try to picture God separating the light from the darkness, this is kind of how I try to think of it. And maybe this makes sense, maybe this doesn't, so I hope I don't lose you as I think about this. But as I consider God separating the light and the darkness, I consider him like putting his hands into the air, and he separates it like a swimmer would swim, and there's the light, there's the darkness, he separates it. That's the word that the Bible uses. It uses the word separate. So as we consider all that God does on this first day of creation, we need to be impressed. And not only does God create light, create darkness, he creates time, he creates the days. Verse 5, we read that he creates time and day. And up until this point in time, it was just a concept. There was no day, there was no night, it just was. And as God sees that it's the right time to name time, he just speaks that into creation as well. This is probably the best place for me to mention this, and I kind of was waffling on some of the things that I was going to share with you this morning, and I crossed out a lot of stuff in my notes this morning before any of you got here, but I did save this section because I think this is still a pretty relevant section. But I do want to mention this, that there's a debate amongst the scholars, and the debate is about how long was creation. Was creation the literal 6 days, or is history what science teaches us billions and billions of years old? And let me just say this, that there's two positions on how old the age of the earth is. Scientists, they speak about the earth being billions and billions of years old. And you compare that with what the Bible says. The Bible shows us a literal history of about 6,000 years. So how do we compare the two? How do we reconcile the two? Let me just mention this. The Christians, in an attempt to try to reconcile these two conclusions, have actually offered a couple of kind of counterpoints. And here's the first one that's taught that I'll mention. And the first one is that the actual age of the earth is the literal 6,000 years that the Bible describes. And there actually is some biblical evidence, some biblical accounts that help us to see how that can actually be reconciled with the scientists' teaching. Scientists, according to this one, the Christians that go along and say 6,000 years, they would say that the scientists are actually wrong. And one of the accounts that helps kind of thwart, I guess, the scientists is the flood account. If you take the flood account, that completely changes the technology that the scientists use to date the age of the earth. So that's one suggestion that I'll throw out there. One way to reconcile the differences between the two. And here's the other. And the other is that the earth is the actual billions and billions of years old, as the scientists proclaim, but that understanding can as well fit with a biblical understanding. And here's the two ways that they go to try to get you to that point. First idea, some Christians say, is that when God created the earth, he created the earth in the appearance that it was old. And I don't know if you can refute that in Scripture. That's something you might want to consider as well. Second idea that some scholars, Christian scholars, suggest is this, is that the actual age of the earth is that billions and billions of years old, but that the days of creation were as well billions of years old, or hundreds of millions of years old. And someone who comes to that conclusion, they look at a verse like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." They point to a verse like that that says perhaps our understanding of time is just, we don't get it, and that God's understanding of time is something that we need to reconsider as we look at these first 6 days of Genesis. I'm not going to tell you which side of all of those to come down on, and I hope as I share with you that, I hope I didn't lose you in the process, because some of that's just, you got to follow it. I don't follow it perfectly myself. What I do hope, though, is that you heard this. I do hope that you hear about a God who created the earth. And not only did he create the earth, he sees that the earth needs a purpose, that it needs meaning, that it needs character, and he's intimately involved in his creation. And when God steps back after he sees each day of creation, what does God say? He says it was good. And God is pleased when he sees his creation. Think about all that God did on this first day of creation. Think about what he can do. What if God can do all of this in one day of creation? What can he do in each of our own lives? I think that's the great question that we can ask ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 6, it speaks to that, and it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." There's a few other verses that are very similar to that. You can look at the book of 1 John, of Job, the Psalms. They use wording like that. And their wording, just like this passage here, it all goes back, pointing back at Genesis. And these words that are in front of us right now from 2 Corinthians, these are words that God used Paul to write. Think about Paul for a little bit. Paul, he knew firsthand what it meant to be in darkness. Acts chapter 9 tells us of his life as Saul. This man who hated the Christians, who wanted Christians dead, who wanted the church to be stopped. And then one day he's traveling, and as he's traveling, this light from heaven just overtakes him. And God speaks to him and asks him why he's persecuting him. Following that moment, Paul, he's literally blind for 3 days. He comes in contact with this man, Ananias, who is used by God to take these scales off of his eyes. And as the scales come off of his eyes, Paul puts faith in Jesus Christ. This same Paul that we can look at right here, he knew what it meant to have God shine light into his life, to take him out of the darkness. He knew that it was the same God who created this physical light in this world that could create light inside of his heart. And for Paul, the fruit of that is that Paul is able to tell the world around him of the one who redeemed him and of the one who gave him the second opportunity to have this new life. Here's the thought that I'd like to leave us with this morning. That you and I, outside of Christ, we are like creation before creation came into existence. We are nothing. And when God gets involved in our lives, he makes our life have meaning, have purpose. That's what I hope that you can say for yourself. I hope that you can say, yes, the light of God is at work. It's in my life. Because that light of God, that can do an amazing work inside of our lives.